Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1. I want to welcome back my two co-hosts, have Tammy Haldeman and Tom Turbrock. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Good afternoon, you two. Another great show and another learning tool.
Yes, absolutely. So to recap, we're talking about financial matrimony.
Right.
And some of the principles that I've hit on so far is, first, as a couple, you have to start out by setting financial goals and rules as a couple so that you can create a budget. Okay, so you can get on the same page from the beginning when it comes to setting a budget. And that has to be the starting point for everybody.
Right.
One person needs to be the one to handle the bills. And a quick little story about that is I have a client just this week, great client. They're building a $750,000 house. It's the fifth loan I've done for them. As I've watched these guys move up, being very successful. They've done very well, and all of a sudden, when I pulled their credit, there were two late payments that showed up on car payments in the last year, and it hurt their credit score. It was cost them an extra 0.25% on rate. Okay, so two things happened. One is, it turns out it was a joint car loan, but the spouse was the one that was paying that car payment. So instead of one person handling the bills, they let the other person handle a couple bills, even though they may not have a routine to handle just a couple bills in a month. And it's a recipe for it to fall through the cracks. Exactly what happened. I was actually able to give some credit advice to maneuver around some credit card debt to get the scores back up quickly, even with the late payments on there, and still get them the lower rate. They got lucky. A lot of people don't get that lucky. So, but moving on the recap is that you also need to set up your bank accounts correctly to make your finances go smoothly. And to recap on the bank accounts, recommend you have one central account that I call a bills account that all the bills get paid out of. You don't have debit cards to spend out of that account.
Right.
Okay, it's just the monthly bill.
You can
bills
set up
auto
pay.
Right. You set
like
up auto
that.
Pay,
right.
Or you can have a debit card to set up that auto pay, but you don't walk
you
around
don't
with a debit
it.
Card
Mm-mm.
spending unpredictable things out of there. That's where your checks get deposited, and then you transfer out the budget to each person's individual expense account, husband's account, wife's account, and set amount of money goes into those accounts every month.
And then a savings account if.
And then you have a savings account as a fourth account that has all the overflow because you have your budget for your expense accounts. You know what your bills are. Everything extra is going to go into savings.
And I can already feel like, oh, but I don't even have enough to put in savings.
And that's okay.
That could be a story. Just getting a dollar into that account or
if that's
$4,
the case, when
you know,
positive, sure.
Right.
If that's the case, that's where you have to go back to the budgeting and look at the hard line.
Right.
Most people aren't willing to make the really tough decisions to lower their expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We
can
all lower our expenses.
Oh, I need this. No,
yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't
have to have it.
Right. There are always ways. The things we consider necessities are definitely not always necessities.
Okay. And so then when we went out of this segment, you were talking about accountability, and that's where the separate accounts and the budgets for those personal accounts come into play.
Right. So when we think about accountability as a couple, okay, here's where it gets difficult because you don't want to parent a child,
Mm-mm.
the other person.
No.
And this is much like management. I've been in management for a long time. And when I manage an employee, my principle is that you never want to make it personal. Okay, you don't want to attack them personally.
I understand.
You want a set of measurables that's an expectation for their job. And then it's simply a question that, okay, how did you do against your measurables? And a lot of times they'll self-discipline. They'll self-police.
Right.
So question is, with the budget, is looking back on it, okay, how did we each do against our budget?
Right.
Okay, how did we do with that accountability?
Right.
And, you know, you create some accountability. Let's review what each of us spent.
Right.
Are there anything that, now looking back on it, realize you maybe could have done it for a little less?
Right.
Okay, because if we don't look backwards at our expenses, you know, we sometimes are shocked at how much we did spend in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I cut out my McDonald's sweet tea. Making my own.
And you know what?
It was
I
an
spent
easy
way
one
to, too much.
It was an easy one to justify because it's only a buck.
Like, oh, God, yeah.
It's only a buck for sweet tea.
No.
And you get it once a day, pretty much every day. And now you bring your sweet tea to work with you.
Because it wasn't one. It became two teas. And then that ends up being $700 that I could put towards a family vacation or something.
Well, and this becomes about, I'm going to call this about financial maturity. Okay, because when we make irresponsible decisions, it's really just immature to spend money we don't have, right? Like if we saw our kids doing it.
Or your goals even, you know.
Yeah, we're not the United States.
Right.
We're not the United States government here.
Treasury Department printing more money.
Yeah, we shouldn't.
Hello?
We can't always just print more money. So we have to have an amount of maturity, and that's where credit cards are scary for a lot of people that don't have discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you can basically write checks that your butt can't cash.
Yeah, and right. A lot do.
Right. So, Tom, what I'm hearing you and Jill doing right is that you're having a weekly meeting,
yes.
Which is more than a lot of couples can even say that they're doing. So you're on the right course.
Tammy, well, I have to thank you two because that's why we started doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped because you don't see some things or, hey, this is being paid Thursday, you know, this and that. So it has really helped.
Right, just opening the communication.
And the closer you are to zero every month, the more you have to manage that on a regular basis.
Right. Yes.
Because the ultimate is if you manage your finances well enough that you do get a reserve fund and you get a nice cushion so that you're never that close to zero. Like you're not in danger of bouncing checks. The most wasted money are overdraft fees and late fees on things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you pay one day late on a credit card, it's a $39 fee.
Yes.
Right. That's crazy.
Sure. Right.
So one of the big things, too, is not to hide your spending. So that's the thing that Tom and Jill are doing right, is not hiding their spending, communicating about what they're spending on. That's a big deal. And a lot of couples, you don't want to show that you just bought $50 worth of clothes or...
Well, or how about $800 worth of clothes
okay.
might be more common for some people.
That may be.
I mean, I'll give an example here. Somebody I know fairly well...
Mm-hmm.
Because they had separate accounts, instead of having, they actually kept even the bills separate, so they would each get their own paychecks and decide how to spend it. Okay, and I don't like that. I think it all goes in the same pot where you're...
But when it comes to getting a loan for a new home...
Right, absolutely. It's important. Mm-hmm. So one of the people in this couple ended up, they had a shopping habit. And, of course, the spouse didn't know. They'd run up a bunch of credit card debt, and then... You know, when eventually it does come out, it doesn't always go very well.
Ouch, no.
No, it doesn't go very well.
And then Doug not only has to be a loan officer at that point, but then
well,
has to be a marriage counselor.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how often somebody's sitting in front of me and we're looking at their credit report. That's the first time the spouse knows that they have certain debt.
I didn't know that you're spending,
Right. Yeah, how did our balance get that high? What the heck?
Right.
Yeah, people definitely get worried about that. So another thing to think about is that emotional problems can't be solved with money.
Right.
Okay, take a hard look at what's really behind your spending habits.
That's a great point right there.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of emotional spending that goes on. It seems to be more in women, but I'm not going to say it's just gender neutral.
Men have their vices too.
Yeah, like, we all do.
Know
we
your vice as well. Like electronics are my vice.
Yeah.
So I budget my electronics, but I get a lot of small dollar items. Like I don't go out and spend big money on home theater rooms and things like that.
Right.
I order a couple extra iPhone chargers or some little...
I need a couple, babe.
Yeah, some little... on the way.
So...
Another important thing is negotiate and then renegotiate whenever necessary.
Right.
Okay. Sure.
Some life things may have changed. Your jobs may have changed. Your incomes may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone higher. So then attacking some of the debt that may be out there may be able to be adjusted.
Right. And when a financial issue comes up, ask yourself... Is it really a money problem or is it a relationship problem?
Gotcha.
Because there are definitely times when if you have a partner that's not cooperative, there are points that there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
You hope they can have some self-awareness and you can find a way to set some goals together, but you can't always manage that other person.
Which is another reason to have those separate accounts, because if you have a partner that has that issue, that separate account for their own could force them into budgeting and help them to learn their own spending habits.
Sure.
So this is where I've definitely tried to separate myself in the mortgage industry is that I know that if I'm going to help somebody create the largest debt of their life, then I have a responsibility to help them professionally manage that debt. So where there are financial advisors that work on the asset side, I work on the debt side, that helping people structure their debts to have the lowest blended interest rate on all of their debts. And that's really what Cornerstone Mortgage specializes in too.
Right.
So if you'd like a review of your debt situation, reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a free debt strategy for you, and you'll also do a free mortgage evaluation and see if you might want to look at refinancing or if you want to set some goals for the future to be able to buy a bigger house or buy your first house.
Right.
Reach out to me right away, 314-472-DOUG.
There's tissues in his office.
There are.
Yeah.
All right. Just a reminder for you. You don't want to miss next week at 4 p.m. on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut. Simple as listen every Sunday at 4 p.m. Model the advice of the experts and implement your personal plan. See you next week.
Almost half of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. There's no extra money when bad things happen. If you're involved in an accident and are suddenly faced with medical bills, loss of income, and more expenses, what can you do? The insurance company wants to settle and settle cheap. You need someone on your side. You can trust us to protect your rights. Remember the fours. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.